This podcast contains adult content and adult language. In no way does this reflect the opinions of other contributors of Good Morning Gloucester or Homecast. Your discretion is advised.
Good morning, Gloucester. Time for Alicia Unleashed. Talking about what's going on in these streets. Alicia, Alicia Unleashed.
Good morning, Gloucester. It's Alicia Unleashed, and this is episode 67.
Yes.
67.
Okay. Yes.
Awesome. We have, it's not just Bridget and I today, which is awesome, so you don't have to hear us speak the whole entire time, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So we have B-Side.
What up?
And we have Raja.
Nice to meet you.
And Patty.
Hi.
How are you?
They are the Porters.
They are the Porters.
And you have probably seen their art on Facebook, online. You've seen it in your scrolls. You've seen it at the library. And we're going to get into that, too.
So
I'm excited.
So whether you know them or not, you know them.
Yes.
And you've seen their stuff.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that photo. It's great.
And that's a pretty cool way for people to, like, I know you. I know that art. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Is that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So we'll get into that. We'll do our, Alicia's hot plate.
Your hot plate, yeah.
Yeah. So, oh my God, the last time that we even did a podcast, we've had like four hurricanes since then.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the most recent one, which is Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, and obviously, I mean, do really have to go like that far into it because it's devastated.
Right.
And the whole world knows that.
Yes.
Talking about different efforts that are being made and what's needed there, obviously everything, right? I mean,
yeah.
Everything. And we talk a little bit about Pitbull is using his private plane.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of celebrities that are now using their private planes to have supplies shipped out. We actually have some people from Gloucester that are working with JetBlue out of Boston.
Oh, wow.
To get supplies, and we're actually going to talk with them next week.
Cool.
As well as efforts for dog rescues and stuff like that. But Pitbull had used his private jet to get cancer patients out so they can get to Florida for their treatments. Mark Cuban also allowed one of his players to use it to bring supplies and his family back here.
Wow.
So, and I've got four friends that have different family members in Puerto Rico, and they are just heartbroken and destroyed.
Do you guys know anybody over there or have any connections or anything like that?
I went down there when I was younger, and, you know, you see the around San Juan, there's good structures, but you get away from San Juan, and the structures are very weak. And
right.
So this hurricane was just absolutely devastating. There's no question when I saw what was going on that the island was just going to be annihilated.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. It's almost like when Haiti and Dominican Republic, I haven't really seen a lot of the picture because I don't watch the news because I'm horrible. I don't like the news. Does it look like that? Where just like things have just crumbled? Like it's just...
So the thing was that with Harvey and was it Irma that came through, Irma like ripped roofs off these buildings that were supposed to be the safe houses.
Right.
And then you've got Maria that comes through and it's got no safe house. So, I mean, the complete island of Barbuda just is gone.
Wow.
It's completely gone. So Puerto Rico is at that level. You know, and it's just, it's a mess. The whole island is in darkness. So
right. So now you said Norwegian Cruise Lines.
Yes. They actually took one of their ships out of service to bring it down to Puerto Rico with supplies and to bring people on board, like FEMA, to get them restored so that they can have clean showers. They can have, like, accessibility to things. It hasn't arrived yet, but the CEO of Norwegian Cruise Lines was on the radio the other day and had said that they are taking one out to rescue people from the Caribbean as well as Puerto Rico. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So, do they say how many people live in Puerto Rico?
No.
So, would they pretty much would have to, like, put them somewhere else to rebuild, no? I mean,
Boston is actually bracing and preparing for bringing in children from Puerto Rico as well as people. And Boston has a huge Puerto Rican contingency here. And you were in South Boston earlier today.
Yeah.
You've been to South Boston recently. The whole, there's that whole Puerto Rican neighborhood where Michelle, Lena, and I went and had food that one day.
Right, right.
So
yep.
There's a lot of people that are coming back, family members.
Okay.
The problem is the airport's destroyed.
Right.
So the tower, they can't get planes really in or out. It's so difficult because there's no one to man the tower because the tower is not there.
Right.
So
it's crazy. And they're saying that one of the biggest problems down there right now is the fact that there's no cell tower. So even though that there are supplies there, that they're not able to get the trucks out because there's no communication for them to use in order to get them out properly, or say this road isn't passable, I need to go another way.
Right.
So there's nothing to have a warning system out for them. So it's terrible.
And also debris and the trees and the fuel.
They
have the trucks, but they don't have fuel to get the trucks to where they need to go.
Right.
They've got literally nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And are we all done with hurricanes?
They say there's no named storms out in the water right now. Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much more that area can take.
Like, right.
Before it just makes it really difficult for people that are like, there's no such thing as global warming, because it just makes me want to throat punch them even harder.
Well, the Earth does go through cycles of warming and cooling, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But we definitely do have an influence on that.
Right.
Our carbon emissions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even, last night, Roger had a work in, Vanessa Perro had a relief fund going last night up at the Rum Line.
Oh,
and
okay.
She had one last night at the Rum Line and another one this morning in Beverly, and they raised over $6,000 for St. John's.
Oh, awesome.
Vanessa.
Yeah.
Rachel's cousin, Vanessa.
Okay.
I was like, I know that name.
Yeah.
She was Vanessa Lee, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
So she raised over $6,000
awesome.
For St. John's, and because, I mean, they go there all the time. They love it there. And they had a couple people actually from St. John's that were at the thing last night, and they were saying that just it's decimated down there too, so it's heartbreaking. And they were planning, actually they were supposed to be there this week. They actually had a whole vacation plan. They were supposed to be there this week.
Oh wow.
They said, you know, there's no way you can come down here, you know, it's just not feasible. And so they actually said you could come in March, and so they just said, you know, you have a place here in March. So they did.
Mm-hmm.
So they just rebooked their trip for March. But, you know, they have nothing. You know, most of the places that they know, they're like, yeah, it's not going to look the same when you come back.
Right.
It's not there.
Right.
So.
Right.
And her cousin was helping, you know, get donations. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
And artwork and stuff. So I donated one of my pictures that was in the Magnolia Art Show. But it was 8x10 that was framed, you know.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So we will reconvene our more Puerto Rico talk next week
with the rescuers.
Yeah. And move on to one of the America's legends, Hugh Hefner.
Is he a legend?
Absolutely. He revolutionized sex.
You need standards for girls that are unreachable?
Oh, stop. When you read back to his whole life, and he really is. So, 91. I guess I should have figured he was that old. But when someone, I'm like, so he's, you know, he died of natural causes because he was 91.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would have thought the preservatives that he had in there would have kept him going.
It made it to 91.
It's true. Yeah. That is true.
So
he lived a life that only most men can dream of.
<That's right.
laughs> that grotto will never be the same.
That's where the youth was. It was in the grotto. Apparently he didn't make it there enough.
No.
And no other celebrity deaths since last time.
I'm sure there has been.
Obviously nothing that stands out with us.
No.
Otherwise we would.
We had to mention Hugh Hefner only because, you know,
obviously.
Whatever.
I can see you're so excited about that, Bridget. You're like, whatever.
Oh, that jacket must have been so gross. Oh,
I wonder if he's going to be buried in that jacket.
Oh, probably.
I would think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Even the slippers.
Yeah. And the pipe. Yeah. The pipe's going to be... It's going to be a glass coffin, because he's going in that mausoleum in Hollywood. So, you know, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, you know what? The...
Hollywood forever.
The jacket will probably go
They're
in.
They're actually saying that he's supposed to be buried next to Marilyn Monroe. And
right.
how... She was, like, really against him. So it's, like, this big controversy now in death
wow.
that he's getting buried next to someone who hated him.
So why are they doing that, then?
I don't know.
Because he bought the plot next to her. He bought that a long time ago. When she died, he bought that plot a long time ago.
Crazy.
You would have thought that there would be a section in the Hollywood Cemetery for all the former Playboy bunnies that were, like, of significance so that he could just be surrounded by them at all times. You know?
All right, moving on.
Yes.
So, Joel.
Yeah.
From Cape Ann.
Power Yoga.
Power Yoga.
Kalinowski.
Yes. And he's back. Well, did he leave a little bit from teaching at Cape Ann Power?
He took a break.
He took a sabbatical. Now he's back.
Yep.
And he is doing yoga for surfing. So his yoga is more or less getting ready for surfing.
Yeah. He's obviously gotten the benefits of learning the techniques to have better surfing and flexibility.
And balance. And
which is something that you should have anyway, in general, in life. I mean, I know I can't balance for shit. But, you know, I'm trying real hard, trying to be impressive at the gym class where I'm like, oh, look at me go into the crow position and not fall over. Right. Bet you doubted I was going to do that, huh? Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know you did because I saw it in your face when you looked at me in the mirror. Like that kind of thing. I'm that person. But he wants to just get the word out there. It's $20 in advance. It's $25 at the door. And
oh, is it just a one-time event?
It's a one-time event as of right now.
Okay.
And it's going to be in October. And bear with me just a moment because I totally forgot my Facebook post that I did for him. He doesn't know it because he doesn't go on his Facebook page. I do it for him. And it's going to be on October 15th at 12 o'clock at the Power Yoga.
And how long is it? An hour, 2 hours?
It's probably like an hour and
so
a half.
So it's more like a workshop.
Yes.
Rather than
yes.
a class
yeah.
that day. It's going to be more of a workshop.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
cool.
So, it's just more or less just to help with strength, flexibility, balance, and breath. Because
okay.
everyone needs to breathe. Like, everyone just needs to breathe.
Well, it's kind of, like, essential to, like...
No, but, like, everyone just needs to take a deep breath and, like, calm the fuck down.
Yes.
That's what I say. Take a deep breath and calm the fuck down. I'm trying real hard, but it is so there. I'm like, short breath. Just breathe.
And we're not going to...
Nope.
So, you know what I was going to say.
Nope, yep, nope, yep, nope, nope, nope. Bonus episode. We can't do it right now. There's too much. Also, the Patriots lost today.
They did, but...
So, I got 99 problems. My quarterback ain't one, but the offense is. thanks for my shirt, by the way.
You're welcome.
It was really cool when I went to the supermarket during the game, and everyone's like, are you watching the game? I'm like, no.
I'm here.
I was telling Roger and Patty, I ran into someone down at the market, and they're like, hi, how are you? I'm like, I am in the middle of listening to a podcast right now, and I'm trying to get my cucumbers, and you are in my bubble. Why are you in my bubble? I was told no one was supposed to be
here.
Was
it Market Basket?
No, I went to Stop and Shop.
Oh, okay.
There were far too many people in Stop and Shop for my liking.
Stop and Shop had a lot of meats on sale. I had a shit ton. I, like, stocked up my freezer. It's so cheap.
I surpassed the meats today. It was all about the produce and, like, almond butter. How
was
the
those 4 for $20s?
Oh, that's Shaw's.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Was that Shaw's? Oh, so, no, this was, so Stop and Shop marks down meats every day.
Hmm.
So they must have had a huge markdown yesterday. So you're getting, like, 3 pounds of hamburger for $4.
Nice.
You're getting pork chops for $2 and under a package. Or chicken. They had, like, the Purdue chicken that no one ever buys. It's so expensive. Was $2 a package. It was crazy. So I'm like, stock up. Like, and put it in the freezer. I'm like, I haven't seen it. This was crazy. So that's what I did. I usually will go from, like, Market Basket. Because sometimes Market Basket meats can be expensive. And they're not necessarily great.
Yeah.
So if I see something on sale, like, I'll go to Stop and Shop. I will just make the rounds. Like, today I went to Shaw's because... blueberries were 188, and so were strawberries. So, you know, things like that. So that's what I do.
I didn't do that. I drank three different coffees with three different people this morning, and then I was like, oh, now I gotta go grocery shopping. Shit.
Oh, man. So let's move into why they're here.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
So who are you and where do you come from? So kind of talk about, I know you guys are from Rockport.
I am.
He's Gloucester. You're Gloucester.
Okay. Lanesville. But
Lanesville. Is your brother Rob?
No. My brother is Scott.
Scott. Okay. Yes.
He's so crazy too.
Yeah.
So kind of tell me about, you know, life, what you do. Because you said your pieces are everywhere. So what is your main focus? Is it landscaping? Is it just photography? Like, what?
I don't think he does landscaping and take pictures of landscapes.
I don't nutscape either.
Moonscaping, nutscaping.
No, I kind of like it all. My real passion is like astrophotography and night photography, long exposure. Yeah, I really like that stuff.
And how long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that not very long, actually, since I want to say 2013. But it was mainly because I got a telescope and I wanted to take pictures of these faint objects through the telescope.
Oh, cool.
So I got my camera, and by chance I saw the aurora one night when I was out. Patty actually noticed that it was glowing in the northern sky, so I took off my camera, off my telescope, and pointed it over there, and we saw that green aurora glow, and ever since then we've been kind of hunting the aurora around here, you know.
It's amazing that you can actually see it here. I didn't realize that you could see that.
We really didn't know until all of a sudden I was like, that looks weird over there. Is there an alien?
I've heard of people seeing it here before, but I've never seen it before until that night.
So how long have you been obsessed with the sky, Roger? Tell us.
Well, I've always loved the night sky. I've always loved astronomy, but I never really knew much about where these things are. Like, I knew Orion and the Big Dipper, which is an asterism. And it's not even a constellation. The constellations USR Major or something? I don't know. Don't ask me all the scientific stuff.
You just like it. You don't know everything behind it. You just like it, and that's it.
I know the important things. I know where, Sagittarius should be.
Awesome.
And, you know, Cygnus the Swan, and, you know, things that
cool.
I want to take pictures of. Sagittarius, that's more of the galactic core. I love taking pictures of the Milky Way. I love, you know, just doing deep space photography, too, but I haven't really been doing much of that lately.
That's so cool. It's definitely different.
Yes.
And you've taken pictures of the lighthouses.
Yes. Yes.
And are those around anywhere? Are they displayed anywhere?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Where's your other work displayed?
Online, mostly. You know.
Okay.
Usually most of my stuff is online, yeah. You know.
He did the Magnolia Art Show earlier this year. The Phyllis A. Art Show, which was down on Rocky Neck.
Those are pretty big. Those are great turnouts, and they're pretty big. They really are great events.
He did the Sawyer Free Library Where Is It exhibit, and he's actually going to be talking later this month at the Sawyer Free Library about doing astrophotography specifically.
Awesome.
What? Awesome.
You're like, yeah, I just take pictures of the sky.
Just take pictures.
That's what I do. Just take pictures. No, it's amazing. That's
awesome
stuff.
I like to take
pretty
pictures, yes.
You know, Roger is actually... I met Roger. This is going to sound very interesting. On prom night in 2000, and he taught me about satellites in the sky. And now every time I look up and I see a satellite move, I'm like, huh, there it is. Like, one thing I learned from prom, that's it. But yeah, it was really cool that he's like, you know, see that thing moving right there? I'm like, it's a star. He's like, it's a satellite. I'm like, huh, really? I always thought those were stars. He's like, nope, satellite. It's too slow.
It's too slow.
Too slow to be a star. I'm like, huh. And every time people, like, I'd be outside and I'd be looking up at, like, campfire, I'd be like, yeah, satellite. People are like, what? I'm like, oh, I learned about that's the satellite. I learned that. Yep.
Yeah, then they have iridium flares, which are just like... really bright outbursts in the satellites, and sometimes I catch them in my
Your camera?
In my camera, you know.
Now, so you had your telescope and you had your camera attached to your telescope.
Yes.
Do you still do that, or now do you have a camera that does that for you, kind of?
No, I don't have a camera that does that for me.
Okay, just checking.
He wants one, though.
Santa's wish list?
Yeah.
There's an attachment I want to get because I've been kind of failing at auto-guiding, which is basically taking really long exposures.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to take, like, 5-minute exposures of, like, the celestial, not celestial, but, you know, these objects like nebulas and galaxies and,
okay,
you know. Then,
but, of course, we're moving, so it blurs.
Yeah. Mm. You know, you have to get it just right, and the auto-guider wasn't working, or the, you know, just technical difficulties, and I just kind of gave up and stuck with the wide-field stuff.
So when you say, like, a 5-minute exposure, does that mean you have to sit there and push the button, hold it for 5 minutes, or you sit there and then you just walk away from the camera for 5 minutes? Like, how does that work?
What I do, normally, I have a... I don't use a telescope, I use a sky tracker. I polar align it, it sets up to my tripod, mm-hmm. and basically I just point the camera where I want it to go, you know, and it tracks the sky. And it's relatively, you know, wiggle-free, you know, with a nice sturdy tripod, so I don't get any movement or anything like that.
But he does have a, what was it, the...
It's a remote shutter.
Shutter, yeah.
And okay.
I can program that. I hook it right up to the camera, and I program how long I want it to go and how many pictures to take, and I just pretty much set it and forget it and just walk away and
it's
kind of
like a crock pot. Yeah, it's a crock pot for cameras. Nice.
Yes, and that's what I do for my deep space stuff, like
okay.
the Orion Nebula or like the Andromeda Galaxy.
Where do you go to do this? Like, do you just go to the rocks on the back shore, or like do you have... Like, where do you go?
Back shore is good, but it still has a lot of light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite spots is Old Garden Beach in Rockport. There's a couple street lights there, but, you know, it's not as bad. But I've taken them at Good Harbor Beach. Usually Rockport is a little bit darker because you are more towards the water, and everything on the northeast sky is going to be a lot darker.
So you said light pollution. Does that mean too much light?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
that was a new word.
All the streetlights in the city,
yeah,
basically they get reflected up into the sky. And that's that yellow glow that you see in the sky. And sometimes it can block out stars and other things.
Okay.
In Boston, it's a lot worse. You can barely see, like, you know, any stars in the sky.
Right.
But around Gloucester, we actually, being, you know, a little, like, island or a peninsula right off
right.
the water, we actually are subjected to a lot less light pollution than the surrounding areas.
Gotcha.
So, actually, this is a really good area to go out and observe the night sky. And that's why we have the Gloucester Area Astronomy Club in the area, which I'm also a part of.
Yay!
And those guys are just awesome. And they have, like, star parties. They go to Halibut State Park.
Do they do the same? Do they take pictures the same way that you do?
Some of the people do, and some of them they're a lot better than I am. Like Mario is really good.
He must be learning a lot from them then.
He has his own observatory at Wingersheek Beach.
Yeah.
He has like
wow.
a 32-inch mirror. Barry, he lives in Marblehead, and he does incredible work. But he takes all his pictures from Marblehead, which has a lot more light pollution.
Oh, okay.
But he has a more expensive setup, but he's also very talented, and Phil is really good too.
Now, do you have to touch up any of these photos, or these photos are what they are? You don't touch them. It's
oh yeah, you have to touch them up.
You do touch them up. Okay.
Like sometimes, like if I'm doing the Andromeda Galaxy or the Orion Nebula, I will take multiple exposures and I'll stack all those images because I want to get as much light and detail
right,
as
okay.
possible. And then in Photoshop, I usually try to reduce the noise and add the detail that's already in the photo.
Right, right.
And but then from the light pollution, then he also has to darken the image because even though there's not as much light pollution here, it still is very present in the photos when he first takes them.
Right.
But that's the deep space stuff. The Aurora, I don't... Some of them, yes, I do process those ones too. Like, I try and, you know, bring out detail and reduce noise as much as I can because I'm taking a... With the Aurora, I'm taking shorter exposures. I'm taking like 8-second exposures because I want to get those like pillars of light. To me, they look like someone's shining a spotlight up in the sky.
Right.
And it just moves. you know, and
your photos are gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
I've seen, you know, Bridget showed me your photos, and we're going to post those up along with this podcast. And boss man Joey C is actually going to love this podcast because he's so into photography and so into the cameras and so, you know, he's going to freaking love this.
Cause I told her, I'm like, you've seen his photos. She's like, have I? I'm like, and I'm going, she's like, oh yeah, I've seen these. Yeah. I'm like, that's him. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk to him. He's a real person. I know that. I know him and I know her in two different settings. And it's weird cause they're married and now it's like a whole circle. Ta-da!
So let's just circle back for our second Magnolia Art Show. So it's not just an art show. You can place, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you place?
I placed first in photography.
Okay, so, you know, not for nothing. You're just like, yeah, I was in here and I was in there.
Super
cash.
First
place.
Super
cash. So what did what was the photo that won first place?
The photo that won first place was a picture I took on May 28th of this year. It was of the Aurora Borealis at Lane's Cove. And had lobster traps off to the left.
Oh, wow.
Joey's going to eat that up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going up there.
That was a really nice image. And, yeah, I was actually surprised. I walked in there, and one of the GAT guys, he's like, congratulations. I'm like, oh, really? For what? He's like, you won first place. And I'm like, wow, I didn't even know.
We even got to keep the blue ribbon.
That's awesome. You mean they didn't send it to you months later, like the Oscars or anything like that? You got to like take it home with you?
Yeah, we just got to take it right off the wall. And be
Did
like,
you get to go to Friendly's and be like, I got first place? Do I get a code hit? Do I get a code hit? Please.
So I like to rag on people and say I'm technically, you know, award-winning photographer. Now.
You are. Yes, you are.
And that's what we're going to put in the show notes, too.
Yeah. My other buddy, Dave, he actually just won first place at Tossville Fair for the Milky Way at Hammond Castle shot that he did.
Wow.
Which was really nice. I like that image a lot.
Have you shot from Hammond's Castle?
No, I have not shot from Hammond's Castle yet.
Yet.
No, me and Dave actually go out and do night photography together. We do, like, the Milky Way at, like, Good Harbor Beach and other stuff.
We like to play with fire with Dave.
He does
pictures.
The wool spinning, which is awesome, you know.
Wow.
Now, do you run into obstacles when you go to night shoots and stuff like that, when you go to the beach and people are like, hey, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm taking pictures of the fucking sky.
Yeah, actually, in Rockport, because we used to get frequented quite often by the cops, and they'd be like, we're going to run your plates. I was like, oh, come on, I'm not even doing anything.
You know they're bored.
Oh, yeah. Bored, drunk teenagers. Yeah. Hey, what are you guys doing? Are you guys telescoping? I'm like, well, that's a new one. Yes, we're telescoping.
Checking for E.T. to see, make sure he got home.
A lot of times we'll have people... I'm trying to take like a landscape, you know, they got like lights on or like, you know, someone will pull up into the driveway and leave their lights on and
we
kind of like blow out the sky, and so I'm getting their lights along, you know, when I'm trying to get like the Aurora Borealis or the Milky Way. We've had some interesting run-ins where you know, last year we were doing meteor shower photography, and I was doing a a star trail shot. I was doing a 15-minute exposure. And we had a couple pull into the driveway, walk down to the benches, and then proceed to have coitus. Right there. And, you know, even sound effects and stuff. And we're just, like, sitting there, and I'm just, like, kind of like, what the hell?
Did they see you?
They must have known that we were there. And Patty is talking to me the whole time.
I had no idea.
So they finish up, leave. Then my exposure goes off, saying that it's done, so it was less than 15 minutes. Good, you know, whatever. As long as you don't cut the cookies, I guess. And I'm like, well, that was kind of disturbing. And Patty's like, what was? Like, you didn't see those people just go down there and have sex? It's like, no.
So I went back through my shots, which were only like 30 seconds long, and I was like, oh my god, there they are. Well, it wasn't very long because they're not in too many of my shots.
You got stage fright. Yeah. Is there someone talking over there? Is that a telescope? What are they doing? Are they telescoping?
What is happening?
So that was kind of funny, but yeah. I mean, most of the time, everyone's been pretty nice. They usually come over and, you know, ask me what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah, it's great to people that are curious and ask questions. It's great.
Some people don't even know that the aurora's going on. I'm like, you see that lights in the sky? That's the aurora borealis. That's why I'm here. I'm taking pictures of it. And then they want to pose. Like, we had some night divers that were actually posing for us. So we take pictures of them, you know.
Awesome.
At Old Garden Beach. But I like Folly Cove and Lanes Cove. I like other places to go there,
right,
too. But I like to start at Old Garden.
Awesome.
That's nice.
So, Pat, you're a photographer as well.
Yeah.
Same stuff? Different stuff?
Slightly different stuff. He does more of the nighttime, and I do more of abstract and macro photography. So I take pictures of stuff really, really up close, and I kind of like to play with, can you figure out what I'm taking a photo
of? Oh, that's cool.
And we like to, actually, we both like to do snowflake pictures in the winter.
I saw, is that hers that I saw?
Well, it was his, but yes.
It was so, I said to her, yeah. I'm like, that is so cool.
She's like, is that a snowflake? I'm like, yes.
Like a real one?
She's like, a real one? I'm like, they have many snowflakes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, awesome.
Oh, yeah, so I do that photography, and actually I went to school for art education, and so I have an art degree, education concentration within that. And so our house is filled with a bunch of crafting gunk that he probably is like, would you get rid of this, please?
But you also do more, you also have physical media art, too,
yeah,
with the twisted
trees,
right?
Yeah.
With beach glass in
beach
it.
Beach glass, yeah.
Those are really cool.
I do, I did one with rocks in the base, and there's wire all wrapped up with beach glass as the leaves. I did a series with driftwood as the base with the trees. I've done, like, actually taken, like, boards and glued beach glass and made little scenes and put them into frames and all sorts of stuff.
Wow.
So I kind of like to do that physical artistic stuff as well.
So it sounds like you go on some of his adventures. Do you go on some of her daytime adventures?
Sometimes, but yeah.
Usually not.
Is it more or less like she's got her camera up to something and you're like, what are you taking a picture of?
Yeah.
No, because
I'm standing right here and I don't know what it is.
What she does is she'll just like go wrap a tree and or
yeah,
she'll go collect sea glass. And
then he's taking photos and later on I'm like, give me your camera. I see something and I'm just going to get weirdly close to it. And then like he's like going through his pictures. He's like, I found yours.
She likes to steal my favorite lens. Which,
oh, all the time.
Yes.
But that's why we have compatible cameras.
Isn't that why you got married?
Right? Yeah.
For his camera.
For his camera.
So how do you take a picture of a snowflake? Like, I saw the pit. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, what does that entail?
Oh,
well,
like, do you just put your camera? I mean, really, like,
we're like idiots standing outside going, that one landed on my arm. Does it look good enough to take a picture of? No. And we go out periodically, and our neighbors are probably like, what are these weirdos doing?
To wear a dark color?
Yeah, and so we're like, and then, like, once it is, like, we, like, run frantically and get our gear and go get everything and then go get a piece of fleece and we lay it out in the car and we just wait for snowflakes to land. And then we just sit there and, like, you have to be so still to get these shots that you're like, I'm not going to breathe for the next 2 minutes as I take the shot of this one snowflake.
Wow.
Yeah. We like to do it freehand, but I have tried with a tripod before and had some pretty good luck with that, too.
Well, just falling from the sky and taking pictures and you got it?
No.
Like, set up a
tripod with the fleece and then, you know.
Oh, with the, okay.
Go into live view on the camera and then zoom up really close and try and get the best focus I can. And
okay.
But I also use like a macro, what is it called? It's a macro lens. And I also use a ring flash. So it lights up. It's not like your standard flash that you attach to your camera. It's in front of the lens, so it lights up everything. That's what I usually do with my macro shots.
So how long does it take? So, I mean, how many shots are you doing before you get that one perfect snowflake?
I usually go about, like, 20 shots to get that one that's just in focus. Because, you know, if I'm doing it freehand, I move slightly and it's out of focus.
Right.
Because you have this narrow field of focus when you're doing
snowflakes. Yeah, when you're using the macro lens, not everything in that bubble is in focus. You have, like, this one strip. And so, like, you're like, I think I got it. And then when you look at your screen, you're like, I got the bottom half of the snowflake in focus, but in the top half looks like poop.
Especially when you're dealing with the 1-to-1 ratio, but if you go up even higher, like if I use my teleconverter and try to go 2-to-1 or, you know, use a Barlow lens, yeah, those, it gets really complicated. You barely can get it in focus, and then you're just trying to get lucky, you know.
Unless you go through like hundreds of photos at the end, and
you go like cross-eyed looking at those and be like, "Wait, I need you to come and check this. Is this one a good one? Because I can't tell anymore."
Yeah.
Or do you kind of? Okay, like,
you're like
this point,
scrolling through, going, "I don't even know." And so, like, sometimes we just have to walk away and be like,
"Take the breath, take the breath, and walk away."
Your fingers get numb, and your camera gets all wet. And, you know,
yeah, that's true.
But you get so excited that you want to still go look. You like run back upstairs, and you're like, "Oh my god, I gotta look!" And then you're like, "I don't know what I'm even looking
a
at."
A lot of times, a lot of times in the preview, I think I got a really good one, and then I bring it on the computer, and it's like, it's not great.
Oh, that happens to me all the time when I take photos of myself. I'm like, "Oh, I look so cute," and then I see it in the big. What was I thinking?
It happens to everyone.
Yeah. So are your photos displayed anywhere?
I did the Phyllis A. Art Show, but I did my sculptures for that one.
Cool.
I haven't done too much. I did more so when I was in college. I got into like the college art shows there and did like painting work and stuff like that.
What kind of sculptures?
It was mainly the I like doing stuff with wire or found object stuff. I did a whole turkey made out of beer cans.
Oh, that's awesome.
And scissors and tongs and saw blades. And my mother was like, "You're not bringing that in the house." And I was like, "What, you don't want tetanus? Gobble, gobble." And she's like, "No, you're leaving that outside." I'm like, "Oh, come on." I think it's living at my sister's house, strangely.
Do you shoot year round?
Pretty
like
much.
With the weather.
Obviously,
like,
they shoot snowflakes.
Well, I know that is like half she's the macro, like, you know, she's the macro girl, right? So that's, you know, they do that together. But as for, is there any season that's better to do night shots than any other?
Well, the winter is actually better for night shots because there's less moisture in the air because it's colder and there's less disturbance, so the stars don't sparkle as much.
Okay.
When you see them twinkling, that means there's upper level disturbance in the air, and that can ruin a night shot.
Well, twinkling is pretty.
It is pretty, but it also means that you're looking at like when we're standing on the ground, we're actually, it's kind of like we're looking through all this, like, solid material, but it's transparent. It's kind of like, you know, air is kind of like water in a sense, you know, it has ripples and stuff. When you're looking at it through a telescope, you see the moon really close up, you can see, like, waves and ripples go through. It's called, like, a funhouse effect, I think they call it.
Which is worse at more towards the horizon. If you're looking straight up, it's not so bad, but more towards the horizon, all of a sudden you'll be like, "Oh, that looks weird."
But in the wintertime, there's not a lot of moisture in the air, so it actually does help, you know?
Huh.
So it's usually better.
And if we're out for a long time when it's really humid out, our lenses will actually, like, get misty and dewy, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, nothing's in focus anymore. That's wonderful."
Right.
And you get, like, dew shields to actually keep the dew off the lens. And
then it narrows your field of view, and oh, yeah. It's fine.
Not necessarily, but
not with a telescope, but with a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, and how long... So you've been in art in general
for
a while.
Long time,
now.
Yeah. I was pretty much the art rat in my high school, so I was always in the art room if I could be.
Art's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. I have no patience for it, but I'm sure it's fun. So what is the one question that you guys get asked? Because when someone tells you're into art or you're into photography or you're into sculptures, and all of a sudden people just are so intrigued. Like you had said, you know, when you were out there and once people are asking what you're doing, what is the most common question that you guys get asked?
Well, when people see my pictures, especially at the Aurora Borealis, they're like, "Can you see that with the naked eye? Do you have to see that with the telescope?" And the answer is yes, you see it with the naked eye. You can see it glowing in the horizon. Me, I can't see the colors, unfortunately. I don't know what it is. I think it's like a form of night blindness or color blindness at night. I'm not colorblind, but I just see glowing clouds. She can see the colors. She can see the greens and the blues and the pinks and the reds.
Huh.
I can't, but yeah.
Cool. What about you?
I usually get, how do you have the patience to do that?
Because you're doing, you know,
all sorts
very
of things.
very detailed things. Oh, yeah. And
well, even my wire wrapping is some of the trees that I do, it's one piece of wire. I don't cut it at all. So it's
what?
25 feet usually of wire just continuously wrapped, and I kind of have to plan it out as I'm doing it and just sit there and just keep going, and then I do a final wrapping to make everything look really, really tight and nice, and oh yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's insane. Where are those displayed anywhere?
No, I just set that up for the house and made a little display for it.
Those are awesome. You need to get into some, like, sculpture show, man.
Yeah.
Like, you need that? That's, like, amazing.
Show. Yeah. Sculpture show.
Whatever. Art show that does sculptures. I don't know. Like, do those exist?
She should do one with the radioactive glass that she found.
Oh, yeah. There's radioactive glass that I found on... from the beaches here.
You hit it with a UV light.
Oh, from Japan?
No,
from Japan. It would be from...
Actually, it's because the milk glass that they made in the Depression era has a slight bit of radioactive material in it. It's not enough to harm you, but it's enough that when you hit it with a black light, it glows green. And it's creepy looking. And
you should totally market that to the high school kids, because I hear black lights are coming back too.
I actually weirdly have been asked, where do you get black lights? And I'm like,
Spencer's. Is that still a thing? Is that still a store?
I think it is.
Hot Topic? I don't know.
Hot Topic. So you guys also film animals, seagulls. Is that by chance, or do you seek them out?
I don't really seek them out.
It's usually by chance.
Because you go to the boulevard and you find them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just everywhere.
So other things that, you know, if there's animals around, do you carry your camera with you everywhere?
Not everywhere.
Not everywhere, okay. But, like, we'll go out and just be like, all right, we're going to bring our cameras just in case something happens.
Because you know when you don't have it, something as awesome is going to happen. You're like, damn it, I wish I had my camera.
Pretty much.
Like, we went to Plum Island, and we're like, all of a sudden, people are like, there's an owl, and we're like, glad we have the camera.
Right.
And then, like, we're, all of a sudden, there's, like, five of people, like, standing there, and then all of a sudden, like, I finally get up from crouching way down below, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh my god, there's, like, 24 people around me. I was like, how do I even get out of here now?
People are curious. When you take pictures, they have no idea what you're taking pictures of, unless people see the owl, but they really don't, and they're really curious.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's kind of a cool thing.
Now, didn't you also just shoot the eclipse that just happened?
Yes, I did.
Where did you go for that?
I actually went to the boulevard.
Okay.
A lot of the guys from the Gloucester Area Astronomy Club set up there.
Okay. And, why the boulevard?
Well,
I think it was just for easy accessibility.
Yeah, because Michael likes to set up there, you know, because it's, you know, you get a lot of turnout and you can have a lot of people see the eclipse. Because a lot of people, they'll bring out their telescopes, and yeah, they're just amazing with the telescopes. I used the 600mm lens for that, but yeah, they brought out some really nice scopes. I think a couple of weeks prior, Stephen Elaine, actually, we had
we have meetings every month at the Lanesville Community Center. And one of the couples there actually got the special type of aluminized mylar that's safe for viewing the sun. So it doesn't hurt your eyes. And, you know, you can use it on your telescope or your camera or binoculars. And then you can look up safely. And so they actually...
So wait, is it like a sheet or a mask? Like, what is that?
So it's really, really, actually, it's a really, really flimsy thing, and so we had to kind of, like, build up with poster board, like, and build a little thing that we could, so we could put it on our equipment, and so it would be held there.
Okay.
So it was, like, between two pieces of, you know, cutout poster board.
So you have to put that on your camera as well, right?
Yeah.
It was on the lens, but yeah, it was, the meeting was Make Your Own Solar Filter Night.
Interesting.
Lanesville Community Center.
Okay.
Steve and Elaine actually put that together. And we made them for binoculars and, you know.
Okay.
Some camera lenses, but mostly it was, most people brought binoculars so they can see it, you know.
But even, like, if you point your camera up towards the sun without a filter on it, it actually can fry the components within the camera.
And I did hear a lot about that right before the eclipse, where they're like, don't try to take a photo with your phone.
Yeah.
Don't try to do it, just don't. Because it'll fry your phone. You know, and there's always those people that
there's certain situations where you could do it if the cloud cover is just right, but, you know, general rule of thumb, don't do it.
All I know is that I wasn't going outside for it, but it hit the windshield of a car as I was walking from the bathroom, and all I know is I looked away real quick, and it was just the shape of a dick for, like, 45 minutes in my eye. I'm like, oh my god! I get the blindness. I'm like, seriously, is this dick gonna leave my eyes? And she's like, close your eyes. I'm like, it's still there. And she's like, that is an interesting shape. I'm like, yeah, it's because I whipped my head real quick and it burned my retina. She's like, well, you should just take a picture of it. I'm like, no, I'm not taking a picture of it. Do you not listen to the radio? They say don't do that. But that's interesting. So not only did you have to do that, but you also had weird gear, right, for your eyes?
Well, yeah, we had a... You know, we had the solar lenses.
Does that make it more difficult for you to capture the photos?
Not really, because I wasn't really using that. As soon as I put the filter on my camera, on my lens on my camera, and you know, started taking pictures, I didn't have to do anything else. I didn't have to, when I was looking at it, just make sure it was in focus. You know, I got some sunspots, and I thought that was cool. Even though it wasn't technically a telescope, I had a lot of people come over and...
try to look through it.
They were looking at the viewfinder and, you know... looking, you know, because I got a nice big viewfinder because I got a DA-10, and they were looking at it like a telescope to see, like, the eclipse, so they didn't have to wear the glasses, you know, kids and adults alike, you know. I had, like, 30 people look through my, just through my camera, you know.
That's crazy. Cool. That's awesome. So for anyone that's interested in photography, what advice would you give them? When you just started in 2013, right? But why did you get into it? What made you want to get into it? And what advice would you give for someone like yourself that was just starting out?
Well, 2013, I mean, I've always loved photography, but I just never thought I could take pictures like this. And when I got my scope, I really wanted to take, you know, deep space stuff. And then when I saw the Aurora, I just got excited about that and just wanted to get better at taking Aurora pictures around the area. So, I mean, if you... are driven and get a passion for it, then, you know, go for it, you know.
Right.
You know, start small. It doesn't really matter about the gear or anything like that, you know. Just as long as you take the time to do the research and try and take the best pictures you can.
Right.
You know, that's all that you can do, pretty much. You know, that's all I'm
did
doing.
You pick the brains of the gentleman in the astronomy?
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure I get it right. Because there is a difference between astronomy and astrology. Let's not confuse that. The astronomy club, did you talk to them and be like, hey, you know, I saw the Aurora, I'm interested in taking these photos. Have you done it before? Like, what can you, like, did you pick their brains first or did you just go balls in and just...
I think it was more balls in.
Yeah, we kind of just, we did do that. And
we're
then,
like known as the crazy Aurora couple.
The crazy Aurora. It's not a bad thing. I mean, the fact is that had you guys not taken photos of it, I wouldn't know that you could actually see it from here.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was just one of those Iceland things, or like, you gotta go to Alaska, which is not near Hawaii, by the way.
It's not. But no. I'm going cross country. I'm going to Oregon, which is...
Oregon.
Why can't I say Oregon?
And Oregon is still nowhere near Alaska, just an FYI.
It's way closer than Boston.
It is. That is very valid and true.
And it's not near Hawaii.
No. Nope. No, it's not.
Okay.
And you're closer to active volcanoes there, so.
That's true. Seattle and Washington is right there.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I know that. Which is right there to Alaska.
No. There's still a whole province of Canada before Alaska.
Which is why I still don't understand.
Oh, God, no.
Why is Alaska part of the United States? It's connected to Canada.
Because we bought it, just like Puerto Rico.
I'd love to go to Alaska.
Is that, so, okay, there's a good question. Is number one place you would want to go and film? Like, top destination, if you could. No money. Like, someone was just like, I want you to go take pictures of this for me and yourself. Where do you want to go?
Oh, I would love to go to Iceland and Alaska.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
For the Northern Lights.
Okay.
I would love to do that. I would love to go to the Southern Hemisphere, too, to see the Magellanic Clouds, you know?
The what?
and a what?
There are two satellite galaxies. Well, they're not really satellite because they're actually moving away. But there are two smaller galaxies that are visible in the southern sky.
Okay.
You know, it's basically the other part of the Milky Way that we don't see. We see like one half of the sky here, and once we go to this, like, you know,
well, that's kind of like if you're in Belize or Brazil, the moon is 10 times larger, especially if, like, at the
you meeting, perceive right? it as being larger.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, you mean the Earth is not flat?
No! Who knows, right?
That's another dig.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, NASA knows, I think. I don't know.
Eh, it's just how you perceive reality. I mean, we could all be wrong.
That is true. It could all be fake. NASA could be pulling our legs for how many years now? Who knows?
Did you want to be an astronaut when you were little?
That's an interesting question. That's not on the list.
Well, because he's so into the night sky and astronomy and knows so much. And so just wondering, did you want to be an astronaut?
I'm not sure about that. I don't think I can handle.
Do you want to get
he doesn't even like roller coasters.
I mean... I think I would be terrified facing that huge void, you know, just up in the sky.
The darkness, the actual darkness.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I get a lot, you know, get away from everyone, but yeah.
That seems like a treat, huh?
The vast emptiness of space, yeah, it'd be crazy. But I don't know, I don't think I'd rule it out.
So what are your most recent projects you're working on right now? Is there another art show coming up? Or, you know, what is happening in your lives like right now? And what are you getting ready for?
Yeah, right now I'm just taking pictures. I'm waiting. I would like to go up to the Kangabangas Highway pretty soon.
Okay.
When the leaves start to peak there, you know, because I love taking pictures of the waterfalls up there. Yeah.
Awesome. Those would be really cool.
Yeah. Right now I'm working on some flower pictures, just some... chrysanthemums.
Awesome.
And now, obviously, we have different seasons coming up. You just talked about fall and the leaves changing. Mm-hmm. But are you kind of like, oh, I'm kind of excited what the W is going to bring?
Oh, yeah. Well, they keep saying it's supposed to be a bad one this year.
Well, have you seen the hurricanes that just came
through?
Yeah,
I know. So,
I'm thinking it's going to be another Game of Thrones winter.
If you see a crazy lady walking around in a penguin suit or a foster,
it's
most likely going to be me.
Was it 2015 or 2016 where we had that?
2015.
Where we had all that snow?
The year I had my back surgery. It was 2015.
And stage four, it didn't even melt until like July.
Right. Yeah. This is the second time I've had that conversation today, too.
Oh.
I had that conversation with my cousin earlier. He said something about, like, he's like, God, it's so hot out here. I'm like, dude, it's 53. He's like, I'm sweating my balls off. I'm like, well, then you are on some great drugs at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, oh, I just want, like, the snow. I'm like, you shut your motherfucking mouth. Like, do you not understand what's happening in the Caribbean? There are storms. Mother Nature is pissed. I'm like, she already got us 3 years ago. I can't do another one.
Well, the Farmer's Almanac.
I will run through a plow.
It's going to be a doozy.
Since I've moved home, I have threatened every year, I'm just going to run in front of a plow. Just won't even see me coming. Speed up. Just take me, Lord. Take me. Oh, the snow. I hate it so much.
So do you guys have websites, or where can people go online to see your work?
I have a website.
He has a website, rogerporterphotography.com.
Awesome. I like easiness.
Yeah. Which links to Redbubble and Society6, where you can buy his art either as prints or on stuff like mugs, curtains, whatever you want.
Canvas.
Really. Yeah.
Shower curtains. Can I get a shower curtain?
There is.
You could do a shower curtain of the Aurora.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can gift that to people that love the Aurora. Perfect.
Actually, Society6 usually sells a lot of my work, which which is nice because, I mean, I take like 10%. It's not the best work. You know, it's not the best prints or anything like that, but it's cheap. Right. That's what I like about it. I can get it out there. You know, it's decent, though.
Like, we have gotten stuff off of there, of our own stuff. I've gotten little nice little bags printed with my images on them, and cool. They're actually really nice.
The cell phone cases that they got, the pillows.
Everything, all, yeah. Like, literally.
They're really, really good.
Oh, it's great. That's awesome.
But the framed art and the canvases, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, they're decent.
We did get one of the... Well, we got a print done of one of my snowflakes, and I just framed it up myself, and it looks great just hanging up on the wall. Probably would be better to get, like, if you don't really know how to do framing, just to get a framed print. They're actually decently priced.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple frame shops in the area, but it's expensive to get your stuff framed up.
Right.
That was one of the skills that I'm glad I learned while I was in college for doing art, because it's expensive.
Yeah. Like, we have, you know, for people that want to, you know, put their stuff on canvas, and a lot of local artists go to Cape Angie Clay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was actually just about to say that.
Yeah, like, we use him a lot.
Like, great.
Society 6 is for good quality, but for the best quality, I go to Cape Angie Clay and use James now.
Yeah, they're
awesome.
Yeah, they really do. Great people. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah, they are.
And they do great work, and they're just awesome.
Yes.
And what about you? Do you have your stuff online?
I have my stuff. I have a Facebook page that's linked to my my account, where it's public. Anybody can go and like it.
And we're gonna put those in the show notes too, so we'll hyperlink those for you.
And I also have a Society 6 page where you can buy my stuff as well.
What's the Facebook page called?
Patty Porter Artwork.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So we'll link that.
Yeah, and the Society 6 page is my name is Attempting Patty, because right now I'm just like, I don't know what I want to focus on, so I'm attempting myself. So
I love that name.
You know?
That's awesome. Like, hello, like, you don't even need to change it. That's it.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm just attempting Patty.
That's awesome.
I have no idea what I'm really doing, but I'm just attempting it.
That is good amazing. Time. That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for coming out. It wasn't scary, was it?
No, not really. See?
No, yeah. It's just...
Yeah, just a conversation. Just a conversation. I have trained her very well. Just tell people it's just a conversation.
That's it.
That's it.
Awesome. So thank you guys for coming out. We're going to put all your links up there, and we look forward to seeing you in, you know, more shows. Not that it's... She just did number one at
I don't know
Magnolia,
if there's anything recent, hopefully, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm sure once the spring comes around, it'll be popping up. You know, I know the winter kind of dies down around here, but
hibernates.
Yeah. So,
but definitely. You do have that show coming up at the Sawyer Free Library. Was it the 14th of October, Saturday?
Well, that's not a show. I think it's more of a presentation.
A little presentation. Cool. It's him and two other guys who do astrophotography as well, but they all do very different styles of astrophotography, and so they're going to talk about how they each do their own style.
Yeah, I think awesome. Barry does the deep space stuff. John is going to be there. He does stuff on the remotely in the southern hemisphere.
So
stuff that we don't see around here, which is awesome.
So he gets to see those clouds that you were talking about?
He gets to see the Magellanic clouds.
Can you just be like, can I just be you for a minute?
Yeah.
Can I go in your place? I promise. I'm him. I promise I'm him.
But it's awesome because anyone can do it. They can rent a telescope in Australia, get these images, and then process them themselves.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, that's what he does.
And then next year, he secures a spot at Cape Ann Coffees to present his work there.
Nice. Oh, cool. Okay. Awesome. So. Awesome. And that's a very popular spot.
Oh, yeah.
And love those owners as well. They're good people. Mm. Awesome. So you got some good stuff coming up.
Yeah.
And we're also gonna put the little information about your thing on October 14th as well. I've got that in the show notes, but we will make sure to get that boosted for you too.
It's mostly gonna be like a slideshow thing. I'm not very good at speaking.
You did.
You did great.
I mean, you opened right up.
You did great.
All right.
Awesome. So thank you guys. We're just wrapping up 67 Alicia Unleashed. Peace.
Bye.